If you're looking to build some space and calm into your life, let me introduce you to pianist and composer Chad Lawson. He's touched so many lives with his meditative music, and he's joining me here on Classical Conversations to talk about Where We Are. That's the title of his upcoming album of original piano solo music. First and foremost, welcome, very warm welcome to you, Chad. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Mary Claire. I really appreciate that.
I mentioned that album title, Where We Are, which I think is such an intriguing title for an album. It's very declarative. But if I could pose it to you as a question instead, because, I mean, it really does beg the question, where are we?
The intent behind the album was meeting people with where they are in life. Originally, the concept of the album was about chasing your dreams. It's like, why do you get up in the day to go after whatever it is that you go after? Why do you dream? And dreams are hard, and they're meant to be hard, and they're meant to be challenging. And, you know, just the more I started thinking about that concept, it just didn't really make sense. Something was nagging at me as far as my emotions were concerned, because the music was rather challenging and technical and a little bit more dramatic than normally what I do. And something just was not sitting right. And I was at a performance recently, and this young lady came up to me afterwards, and she could barely form a sentence, bless her heart. She was crying so hard. And she said, my dad is dying of stage 4 cancer, and all I can do is just listen to your music right now. That's all I can do. And then there was another gentleman that drove 7 hours to a performance, and he was like, you know, there's one song of yours that just allows me to sleep at night because I suffer so bad with PTSD, and I just had to drive all the way here to thank you and just share that, you know, these stories with you. And that really was like the turning point of, I don't think people are ready to dream yet because they're still trying to heal. And so that really, because like with this type of music that I do, it's very calming, it's very healing, it's very comforting, right? And what I have really kind of come to terms with, at least with this album, is like, I just want to meet people with where they are emotionally. I want to be there with them and to also tell them that I hear these stories from all over the world via emails or when I talk to people. And it's, you know, the concept that I've really put behind this is one album, shared experiences. So that really is just about meeting people with where they are in life and that we're all in this together.
We get this beautiful preview of that healing kind of music with the single Sanctuary, which does have a music video that goes along with that, and I watched it. The first thing I noticed, of course, is this big billowing parachute, or at least I think it was a parachute.
Yes, it was the film director's idea because, you know, breath work is a really big deal to me. And, you know, my previous album was called Breathe that we did with London's Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. And so like breath work and meditation is it's a core theme in everything that I'm doing. And then with this album, you know, Sanctuary is meant to find your place that is safe for you. And that could be sitting quietly reading a book, it could be going for a run or having some coffee or maybe just sitting with a friend, but that one place that's just really rejuvenating for you. And so when the director came, you know, and he had this preview of the parachute, I'm like, oh, that's incredible. It looks like, you know, someone breathing just in and out. And he goes, yeah, that's definitely, you know, a great concept. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you see in this? And he goes, well, a parachute, it's, you know, it's only engaged when you need to be saved, right? It's only engaged during emergencies. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. I didn't even think about this. And he was like, if you really, you know, if you think about it, when it's opened, it's because it's so necessary and so important to like save that person's life at that moment. And I thought that was so profound when he told me. I have chills right now. I'm sharing this with you. And he was like, that was my idea of this. It's just like, you know, the music and just being able to find that place that is life-saving for you, that is life-giving to you emotionally and maybe physically as well. And I just thought it was so profound. So I just fell in love with the concept.
What is it that led you into this branch of music? It is so calming and meditative. I know you come from a background of classical music and jazz. So at what point did you veer off in this new direction?
You know, I had a pretty significant jazz background, and it just never felt like me. And I mean this respectfully. I still study jazz. I still take piano lessons, and jazz is where color comes from. But jazz is this scholastic, let me show you how fast I can play. Let me show you how great I am. And that really is just against my entire nature as far as just personality-wise. I waited tables for 15 years, and I always say that was the biggest education for me as far as music is concerned, because it taught me how to accommodate people's needs. It taught me how to care for people, even when they may not have realized they needed something. And so I'm just an extreme empath by nature. I want to take care of people. And the more and more I started leaning towards this type of music, that's when I started getting emails from people of saying, hey, you're helping me through a really difficult time right now, be it a divorce or I just lost a loved one for whatever reason. And your music is holding my hand during the most difficult seasons in life. And so just the more that I started hearing that, the more it just made sense to continue this path of just creating music that allows people to simply heal.
One thing I find so beautiful about your music is the space within it, and knowing your hope for healing, understanding that context, how do you conceptualize space and time in your composition process?
Space is my favorite note, and I mean that sincerely. In 2013, I did an album called The Space Between. And that was the very first album that I felt very comfortable in my skin. And I was very intentional about it, because with space, there's like, you have a note that the listener hears, and then you have this space until the next note. And it's in that space where the magic is, because the listener not only gets to like process what they just heard, but it also resonates with them. And they're allowed to take that note in and take that emotion in, because when you're listening to a song or a melody, there may be like a moment that like comes nostalgia, right? Or something like a memory comes to mind when they hear a certain melody or a song. And so space is really where that magic happens. It allows us to slow down. It allows us to be present. I had a lady email me one morning. And actually from this album, she was listening to a song, and the email said, I'm listening to this song and the tempo of the song matches the pacing of my husband's breath as he takes his last one. And that's heavy, and I get those a lot, but the intention was I created a space for her to find comfort in a moment that she will never forget. Right? And so I think when we allow ourselves that ability to just slow down and to be present and to allow for that space, that's when we really begin to notice, rather than it just being noise or being fast or just being impressive for even just a moment, that we're wanting to create something that really resonates with ourselves.
You have this amazing way of reaching out to your listeners through your music, of course, but now through your podcast too, the Calm It Down podcast. Perhaps you'd like to give a little backstory on how that came to fruition.
So in 2019, late part of 2019, I began studying the marriage of music and mental health. Yes, music makes us feel good, but why? What is it about music? I wanted to know, like, neurologically what was going on. And I learned that our body has these things called BDNFs, which is just a fancy scientific protein, basically, that makes us feel good. So when we go for a run, or when we're sitting having coffee with someone, or when we're exercising or out in nature, we have these proteins in our bodies that elevate these BDNFs. And that's what makes us feel good, like scientifically. And there was an amazing study by Harvard and Oxford Press saying listening to calming music for 3 to 5 minutes elevates our BDNFs. And I thought that was so fascinating that you could honestly go lay on the floor and then just like hit play. And then all of a sudden you start feeling better, right? And so now fast forward a couple of months and then the pandemic hit. And as a musician, I was grounded. I could no longer tour. But I wanted to stay connected with my listening audience. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to create a podcast while I wait for this pesky COVID thing to, you know, to pass in a couple of months and it'll be done and life will return back to normal. And honestly, the podcast has taken on a whole life that I never expected. We're past 5 million downloads now. We're in our fourth season. And it really is just an extension of the narrative of the music of what I'm trying to bring to people. So it's very lighthearted. It's very encouraging. They're very short episodes of just everyday simple techniques to help us get through just the chaos of life. In a really lighthearted, encouraging way.
Everything you do on a day-to-day basis, I mean, you're composing, you're recording, you're podcasting, you're tending to family obligations. How do you achieve that calmness and space in your own life amidst everything you've got going on?
I have a couple of things I really set very intentionally. Sleep is one. 8 hours is very, very important, especially the more science I learn about sleep. I do transcendental meditation. I pray. I spend time on the yoga mat every day. If I'm not on the mat, then I'm at least on the run, but trying to get out of my environment, out of my headspace. And then also travel. I just absolutely love to travel. It's the only time I get to read. My wife and I, we have 2 young boys, and so the noise in the house is pretty consistent. And so being on a plane, honestly, I don't mind. My Kindle goes with me everywhere I go. But it's taking like exactly what I was saying, even with Sanctuary. It's carving out very intentional 1 or 2 moments throughout the day that's really rejuvenating for you. And I know that's really difficult, and I actually did an episode on this, to where we feel guilty. We feel guilty about the whole self-care and even allowing ourselves 10 minutes. And so when I teach meditation or, you know, do this with students or even with CEOs, I tell them in their calendar that you carve out that time and you put mentoring session. Because when someone comes up and says, hey, can you do me a favor? Will you do such and such, such and such? And you're like, this is the last thing I need to be doing right now. It's going to literally stress you out or just drain you. Then your response is, oh, you know what? I would love to. Can I do that next time? That's during my mentoring session that I have. And like, who is going to say, well, you shouldn't go mentor someone, right? No one's going to say that, at least no one that you should be, you know, engaging with. But that mentoring session is yourself, allowing yourself 10, 15, 30 minutes just to go sit and to be present. Put on something that you enjoy listening to, you know, go get an ice cream and go sit in the park. That's meditation. I hate the word meditation. I think it's so scholastic and I think it's so heady and so intimidating. But if people could understand that meditation is simply just finding a few moments for yourself and being present in those moments, that is what meditation really is. And just carving that out for yourself.
Before we sign off for today, I would like to give you the floor to share any final thoughts on the upcoming album or on you or your work in general.
Yeah, the album is really special. I mean, the album Where We Are, it really is about community. And that was the word that I really kept coming back to, is like, I want to create a sense of community because we all share in all of this. And I think a lot of times we feel so alone. We feel so isolated in everything that we do. And so on the website, chadlawson.com, we actually have a section that says Where We Are, where you can go and you can, there's a globe and you pick on where you live and you enter your story. Some people upload photos of themselves or of their pet or of a painting or of a flower. And they share their story. And the amazing thing is they're so encouraging to read those stories because you see people that have been able to get past certain struggles, right? And so when you read that, you're like, oh, that's so encouraging, right? So I would love for anyone that had a free moment just to go check out chadlawson.com and then go to where we are, that section, and just read some of the stories if you're having a really difficult time with what you're going through. And then maybe even share your own story in that as well.
Comments from Chad Lawson today on Classical Conversations. And a very timely conversation it has been since his album, Where We Are, is set to release this summer. In the meantime, you can enjoy a preview of it with the single Sanctuary. It's been so great to speak with you, Chad. Thanks so much for your time.
Mary Claire, thank you so much. This has been so fun.